Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We are here to celebrate the giver of all good gifts. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time. We want to welcome you. Those of us who are here all the time will extend the hand of welcome to you. But if we don't do that quickly enough, you introduce yourself to us because we're delighted that you're here. I hope you'll look in the bulletin insert. You'll find there are lots of ways that you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to list just a few of those. First of all, our programming for Wednesday night began this past week with children's choirs. If you didn't get your child here this past week, it's not too late. Bring them this week and in future weeks. Also, we have programming beginning related to our gifts emphasis, and you can read about that in the bulletin insert. I am going to mention one, however, that begins this afternoon. It's the gift of imagination. It's a discussion of the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and it will be meeting at 4 this afternoon. So if you're interested in that, you can find more details in the bulletin insert. Our play school registration is in process. It's time to register for the 2013 summer term and the 2013-14 fall spring terms for the preschool. There are classes for 1 to 5-year-olds. There are full-time and part-time schedules. And if you need additional information, you can check out that website, westendpreschool.com. Also, we are having a food drive. As you know, during the holiday season, many food banks are absolutely depleted. So January is a great time to help restock those. You'll see boxes all around the church where you can place non-perishable items. There's a list of those items in the bulletin insert. And we're going to be doing that throughout the month of January so that we can assist Second Harvest and the 46 counties that it and its cooperating groups serve. So keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks as you come. Bring some of the goods that are listed there in the bulletin insert. Also, our all-church lunch welcoming new members will be next Sunday, January 20th. It will take place right after the 11 o'clock service, right after this service in McWhorter Hall. Let me encourage you and plead with you and cajole you and beg you to let us know you're coming. If you can do that, we want everybody to be included. If you didn't happen to call and say you were coming, it's okay. But it always helps us plan, if you know that you're going to be there, to call ahead and to let us know. Do you hear it? It's the gift of the presence of God. The wind of God's Spirit blowing through this place right now. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Open your hearts to take it in.
Oh. God the Creator provided each of us with countless indescribable gifts. Abundant gifts, those recognized and those yet undiscovered.
As God's people, we gather to seek, to discover, and use them faithfully.
Today's world keeps us so busy chasing our dreams and reaching our goals, we tend to spend too much time seeking the things that we want. Let us confess how easily our focus shifts to our own agendas instead of our shared identity to serve. Let us pray our prayers of confession. Loving God, we gather as people grateful for the unique gifts you have given each of us, but we confess how often we've used them for the benefit of others. We get so immersed in our own agendas that we miss opportunities to participate fully in your work, and we fail to respond in ways that affirm life. We tend to think that our gifts and talents are self-made, and we let our own pride stand in the way. When we do serve others, we far too easily focus on our own goodness and sense of importance, rather than being grateful for the gifts you have given us. Forgive us our self-centered view and empower us to appreciate the true worth of all people. Forgive us and remind us to open our treasure chest of gifts to more fully embody your love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Friends, Epiphany is good news. The light comes into the world to enlighten us and warm us. Christ Jesus came into the world to reconcile us with God. In the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Catherine Sandlin Morrell and Mark Francis Morrell bring their son, Camden Howard Morrell, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
It's one of those special Sundays that we have once in a while when we're baptizing a baby on behalf of a church in Colorado, where Catherine and Mark now live. But this is family. Catherine grew up here, and this is Susan and James Sandlin's grandson. So we are very pleased to administer the sacrament of baptism on their behalf this morning. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And so, Catherine and Mark, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water from the Jordan River, from the Cumberland River, and this Sunday from the Platte River from Colorado, and this child now before us who receives it today, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Camden Howard.
Camden Howard. It's a tiny fellow, you are. Oh, yeah. There you go. Camden Howard, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Put your hands on him. Camden Howard, being born through water and the Spirit, may you always be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your ways. Amen.
scary out there.
Oh, you can just yell right into that microphone. Oh, precious. There we go.
We're the congregation. Please stand and face Camden Howard. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Camden Howard to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Camden Howard. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation and by the Church, we renew our covenant.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Now it is not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting, about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us this morning up front, be glad for you to do so. You know, recently we've been talking about the things we promise. Come on down, have a seat. The things we promise when we join the church, and we've talked about praying. We've talked about God's presence and our presence with each other, and now we're talking about gifts. And I want to tell you about three gifts that I've received, and I'm wearing all three of them. This robe was made by hand for me in 1980, it's a long time ago, by a lady named Jennifer Hayes. I still wear it, and every time I put it on, I think of her. Now, this stole was given to me by a woman named Mac Stringfellow. I don't know many women named Mac, do you? She was quite a character. And she went on a mission trip and brought this back to me, but she didn't like for people to say thank you to her. She didn't like to receive credit for things. So when I told the story of how I received this stole, I had to tell it in such a way that I didn't mention her name, but everybody knew who had given it. And the third gift, you have to look closely to see. You'll notice there's fringe on this robe, and some of the fringe has been braided. See that? There are some braids right there. There are braids on this side, too. Several years ago, when I was serving another church, when I would tell a story just like this one, there were two little girls, Aaron and Becca Lewis, and they would sit there and they would braid the fringe on my stole while I told the story. And I have chosen not to undo those braids because whenever I see them, I think of those girls. Now, they're big girls now. They're both in high school. One's about ready to graduate. But I always think of the gift of these braids that they gave me. Now, one day when I can no longer lead worship, I'll pass these along to somebody else. Somebody else may be wearing these. But you know what? I won't just give them the robe, and I won't just give them the stole. I will tell them the story of how I got the robe and who made it for me, how I got the stole, and the braids. And they're going to have to promise not to take those braids out. We're going to be talking about other kinds of gifts today, too. St. Paul is writing to a church very much like this one in some ways, although a long, long time ago, in a city called Corinth. And he wants them to be generous in their giving, just the way people have been generous with me, just the way God is generous with all of us. So when you hear me talking about those gifts, you might just think about these gifts I've told you about today and the stories that go with them, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all of your gifts. There are so many of them that if we really took time to thank you for each one, we would never stop. Be with us so that we can share those gifts with other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Anybody here ever receive fundraising letters? Yeah, I see a few hands out there. Yeah. From all the schools you attended, of course, from organizations you were a member of some years ago, organizations you're a member of now, organizations you've never heard of before. I don't know, we just get sheaves of these things week in and week out. Everybody making their pitch, and it's hard to sort through them. I mean, some of them you know are legitimate because you've been involved in them. Others you just don't know. What you have in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is Paul's fundraising letter to the church at Corinth. Okay? Now, he's already visited with the Corinthians, and he's told them about this offering. Now, this offering is a collection he's taking through all the churches in that area to send back to the church at Jerusalem, because the church at Jerusalem was poorer than any of the other churches. All the Gentile churches seem to be more affluent than the church out of which this Jesus movement originated. Now, the church at Jerusalem had held a meeting, and a very important decision was made there. It was a really, really wonderful decision for those churches of Gentiles, because what they decided was you didn't have to be Jewish to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. Men didn't have to be circumcised. Households didn't have to keep kosher. Women did not have to take a mikvah, a ritual bath after each period. The only requirements were basically the requirements that God offered to Noah when there was a covenant made with all of creation, which means that all the Gentiles were just welcomed into the family. What a gift. You see, good things can come out of meetings. Sometimes. Paul's reminding them of the great gift that they've received from the church at Jerusalem, and now they can keep that gift moving by helping that church in ways that it needs it. When he first came to Corinth, they were really excited about this. There was a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy around it. And then, like it is when many fundraisers or motivational speakers or evangelists leave, some of that energy kind of dwindles, kind of goes by the wayside. That's what had happened at Corinth. They weren't nearly as excited about this pledge they had made to fulfill, that Paul expected them to fulfill, to help support the church at Jerusalem. But there was a problem, because you see, Paul had been bragging to other people, the Macedonians, about how generous the Corinthians were. He was using the Corinthians as a good example of how you could really, really get excited about giving to other folks. So he's writing them to say, what's it going to be like when I bring some Macedonians with me, and I've been bragging on you about how excited and generous you are, and you are neither excited nor generous? It's going to embarrass me, and it's going to embarrass you. So I'm sending a couple of people ahead so they can remind you of your excitement, of the energy you had about contributing to those who have less in Jerusalem. It's a fundraising letter. It's sent in order to remind them of what they intended to do and to encourage them to do that with a glad heart. Not through extortion, Paul says. You know, it's hard when you're raising funds because there are a lot of techniques that work really well. Guilt, for example. Guilt has worked really well across the centuries to raise funds. Fear is another one. Make people afraid, you can raise all kinds of money. But that's not what Paul is about. He wants the folks to give because they've recognized the huge gift they've received from God, and the only natural thing to do is pass it on. You see, that's the difference in a gift. A gift does not reside with the person who receives it. A gift that stops its flow dies. A gift that is passed along continues to live. As we were studying this text in the Bible study on Tuesday, one of our members there reminded us that in many Eastern religions, there is a sense of how even our material goods flow, and you've got to keep them flowing like that. Sometimes we forget that Christianity is an Eastern religion. It wasn't born in England or the United States. It was born in the Middle East. And this sense that Paul has that gifts need to continue to flow if they're going to be alive is a part of that understanding that he brings. So what he wants to do is inspire the Corinthians to that original energy, that original commitment that they felt. This past week, I was able to turn in the last check to complete our apportionment giving for 2012. We paid 100% of our apportionments. And what are apportionments? Some people say it's apportionment for others. It's a good way to understand it. Some people see it as a tax, but it's not a tax. It's exactly what Paul was talking about. It's an opportunity for those of us who are better off to help those of us who are less well off. When I first got here, we were not able to pay our full apportionments. And I had two goals. One was that we could. And the second was that when we did, we would celebrate that. That we would be happy that we could do that. People ask me, well, what do they do to churches when you don't pay your apportionments 100%? I said, they send you somebody like me. I'm your punishment. Okay? That strategy worked. The very next year, we paid 100%. We did again this year. And by doing that, do you know what we're doing? By doing that, you have traveled to Africa, to the only university in Zimbabwe that didn't close its doors during the recent trouble, that continued to have classes, continued to graduate people. You were there through those gifts. You were down at Martin College, which is thriving now. Many of those students at Martin College are the first person in their family to attend college at all. You were there with them, helping that to happen. You were with Miriam's Promise, where young women who find themselves pregnant, have no place to turn, nowhere to go, can find a compassionate ear and genuine practical help. Where couples who have wanted to have a child, and for whatever reason can't, can come and provide what we call forever families for some of those children who otherwise wouldn't have them. This doesn't just go on in the general population. At Miriam's Promise, these social workers go into the jails around this area and work with women who are pregnant, about to have children in jail. I think we're the only crisis counseling adoption service that does that. So you see, you got to go to jail. You didn't even know it. You were there. You got to go to Pulaski. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? You got to go to Africa. You got to be in dozens of little churches throughout the conference that without your help would not be able to pay the pension and insurance so that they can have a pastor serve that congregation. You've been in all those little churches. Just like the people in Corinth and the Macedonians could be in Jerusalem, even if they had never once physically visited the place. They were there. Why give it? Because the Jerusalem church needed it. Why give it? Because the Africa University needs it. Martin College needs it. Those little churches need it. Miriam's Promise needs it. There are many others I could mention. Let me give you an analogy. What if the teachers throughout the country decided that the knowledge they had received from their teachers belonged to them, and they were going to keep it to themselves? So that calculus teacher decided not to teach calculus. I would have said, thank you, Lord, myself, but others wouldn't, okay? That history teacher decided not to pass along that heritage. That English teacher decided, they don't need to know about Shakespeare. They don't need to know about William Faulkner. They belong to me. I'm not going to pass that along. You see how dead that becomes? When the gift is not passed along, it dies. What if we as pastors and we as Sunday school teachers decided that the stories of faith belong to us? We're not going to pass them along. We're not going to tell you about Abraham and Sarah. We're not going to tell you about Deborah, the judge. We're not going to tell you about Jesus and his followers because, you see, those stories belong to us. So just tough luck to you. What would happen? All the stories I tell have been told for centuries, most of them at least, before I was ever born. I pray will be told for centuries after I'm gone. The knowledge that you as teachers pass along was there before you arrived on the earth, and we trust will be there after you've gone to meet God. The physical possessions we have were there before we got here. We didn't create those. We're not going to take them with us. You're not going to take a single physical possession with us when we go. Our job as preachers, teachers, persons who have been blessed, is to pass the blessing along, to keep the blessing in circulation. When God decided to set apart a people through Abraham and Sarah, the very first thing that God told them was, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. You're going to be a great nation. I will bless you so you can be a blessing to all nations. We're not blessed for ourselves. We're blessed to pass the blessing along. We're not gifted for ourselves, no matter what our gifts are. We're gifted to pass that gift along. We're collecting food, and we're going to pass that food along. Not a single one of us grew that food. Not a single one of us planted it, harvested it. Not a single one of us packaged it. We don't know who it's going to benefit, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is they need it. Keeping the gift in circulation. That's what this fundraising letter is about. That's what it's about every time we take a collection in this church, whether it's food, whether it's money. That's what it's about when we ask you to pledge. That's what it's about when we collect $18,000 for Bethlehem Center. It's all about allowing the gift to stay in circulation so that the gift stays alive. Woe be it unto us if we stop the gift and think we can own it. You see, the church at Jerusalem could never, ever repay in money what the Gentile churches were going to give them. But what Paul says is, they're going to bless you because they're going to offer thanksgiving to God. That's the gift they have. Gratitude is probably the only adequate response to any great gift. And if we can pass that gift along, we will. If nothing else, we can offer gratitude to God for that gift and for the giver. We have been given an indescribable gift, an inexhaustible gift in God's love. Of course, that indescribable gift is Jesus Christ, but it's also the breath we breathe. None of us created the air, the oxygen. It's this body we live in. None of us gave birth to ourselves. We only know how to love because somebody has loved us, and we don't bottle that love up. We pass it along to other people. We keep the gift in circulation. So my prayer is that we can offer thanks to God by passing along the many gifts that we've received so that as a blessed people, we can be a blessing to others for no other reason than that they need it. For that, we can all say, thanks be to God. One of the gifts we've received as a part of our faith is a collection of expressions of faith called creeds and affirmations. I'd invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal. There you'll find a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. Please join with me as we pass this blessing along. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. We are grateful for all of you who have joined us for worship this morning and braved the rain to come and be with God in community. We'd like to welcome all of you to join us in Reed Hall after the service as a welcome and to find out more about Sunday schools and opportunities to be involved here at West End. For those of you that it's your first time, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table to receive a small loaf of bread for your journey. If you are a college student, undergraduate or graduate, please join us in room 312 up the stairs on the third floor for lunch. It'll be a free lunch, and we'll talk about faith and fellowship with each other. Please note the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. On one side, you can put your comments for staff and lay leaders. On the other side, please put your prayer requests, and note if it should be confidential. We'll be praying for those throughout the week. And please pass the attendance pad from one side to the other, noting who you're worshiping with. We rejoice with Jen and Sean Williams, who had a baby girl, Sybil Kate Williams, born Thursday, January 10th. She was welcomed by her big brother, Parker Williams. Now let us turn our hearts towards prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Jesus, love, we seek your presence this morning. As your servants, we join with all creation in proclaiming your glory. The winter barren trees look heavenward, anticipating the newness of life coming in the springs of your resurrection. Jesus, love, our Creator, we rejoice at your coming, and yet we sorrow because we see lives imprisoned and impoverished by greed, countrysides crushed and ravaged by wars where hate, pride, and arrogance reign. We see waters poisoned by neglect, birds' songs of praise stilled by the corruption of need and want. Open our hearts to your presence. Open our ears to your truth, our eyes to your sacred trust of creation and life we share with all you have made. Jesus, love, we are your servants. As we know your coming, may our wants in simplicity share you. May our words in gentle courage acclaim your truth. May our paths bring us together, that there we may share the embrace of your mercy. Now we join in the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we offer not only the ordinary things of life, like our money and time, but also the extraordinary, and give our whole selves to God. We give thanks that through our gifts, God will work in this place and throughout the world.
Now I send you forth to keep the many indescribable gifts of God in circulation, serving God and your neighbor as you do. And may God, the source of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, who is God's gift of love in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to be blessed in order to pass along that blessing, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.